Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Now, the Lord has a sense of humor, but sometimes it is not always best appreciated by His servants. So this morning you should look for some of that. You ever notice that some of the stories that you tell and get a laugh from, they're only funny in hindsight?
Yeah.
Some of that's going to happen this morning. Now, some of you might notice, or might have noticed, that Christmas is coming. I can tell you that in our house, we've noticed. We have one of those little calendars that has daily prizes in it, and Nathan is fond of going down and finding whatever that daily prize is. Do you remember being excited, knowing that you could count down to something, knowing when it was? I want you to keep that somewhere in the back of your mind as we go through this morning's lesson. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, we're going to be there for a little while this morning. Go ahead, and if you're already there, we're going to start in chapter 20. But it's somewhere between Solomon, Isaiah, and Lamentations. There you'll find that. Jeremiah is one of those guys where you hear his life story and you go, holy smokes, bless his heart. He spent 50 years preaching doom and gloom to the nation of Israel. And for 50 years he told them about their coming destruction at the hands of Babylon as a direct result of their evil. And do you know what happened for 50 years? Nothing. And in fact, Jeremiah became so frustrated about this nothing that he starts to complain to God. Look in chapter 20, starting in verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Now, as a prophet, you have to be careful because there are penalties for being wrong as a prophet. Jeremiah said, they're mocking me. I keep telling them doom and gloom is a-coming, and they're not seeing it. Verse 8, whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. And so the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention His word or speak anymore in His name, His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in, and indeed I cannot. Jeremiah is more than a little annoyed at God. He's more than a little afraid of the people of Israel. After all, prophets whose prophecies don't come true get stoned. And God keeps telling Jeremiah to prophesy doom and gloom, and the people around him keep feasting and getting married and living their normal lives. And quite frankly, they're just a little bit more than annoyed with Jeremiah. It's like, dude, why don't you lighten up a tad? Do you see the blue sky? Why don't you smile? Jeremiah's not smiling because he knows what's coming. 50 years. And eventually the king is going to get so tired of Jeremiah that he's going to let a group of his officers drop his behind into a dank, dark, and soggy well. The 10 tribes of Israel in the north didn't look to God for help as they were attacked and overpowered and eliminated. But while Babylon obscures any hopefulness, Jeremiah looks into the future and sees salvation. Look in chapter 30, verse 3, where it says, "For the days are coming, the Lord declares, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel." Now, seeing God's promised salvation appearing on a definite date, Jeremiah urges the Lord's people to patiently wait for our Lord to fulfill His promises in His time. Now, in this morning's class, Brother Paul brought up the need to be patient when we make requests of the Lord. And do you know the Lord doesn't move on our time? He moves on His. And Jeremiah is not the only one learning a lesson here. Let's see. And we find out that the captive souls in Babylon are going to wait for 70 years. But our Lord assures people He will bring them back. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring back my people from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess." And then in chapter 31, starting in verse 28, we read, "The days are coming when I will plant the house of Israel and Judah with the offspring of men and of animals, as I watch over them to uproot and tear down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build and to plant." Okay. The Babylonians about to rip you down, but I'm going to replant you. And even is kind enough to tell them when. Flip backwards to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "The Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And He goes so far as to tell the Israelites to pray for the prosperity of the Babylonians. Why? Well, because if the Babylonians prosper while you're in captivity, you too will prosper. He tells them, go ahead, settle down, build houses, start a business, because you won't be there a while. But see, here's the thing. This is only humor because we get to look back on it. It wasn't funny to anybody living, including Jeremiah. Jeremiah had preached doom and gloom for so long with nothing happening that the people had stopped listening. Now, it's not like they ever really responded to what he said, but they quit listening at all. Then when the Babylonians are upon them and there's no hope for rescue, Jeremiah starts to spout hope. Yea, ra the Lord. And you know what? Those same people who didn't listen to Jeremiah for the last 50 years don't want to hear him now because the Babylonians are at the front gate. And Jeremiah says, y'all be patient, wait on the Lord because He's going to rescue, and they don't want to hear that either. Can you imagine how frustrating life must have been for Jeremiah? Luckily, Jeremiah decided to write those prophecies down so those folks could remember. Poor Jeremiah. That man had a frustrating life. Read the book. Not many of us here today would be alive to see it if we received a prophecy telling us that something's going to happen in 70 years. Jeremiah didn't get to see it. But in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel refers back to the prophecy of Jeremiah's, and he is encouraged because the time is near. And you say to yourself, how is this relevant to us today? What does that have to do with me? Stay with me. Jeremiah spent 50 years prophesying the doom of Jerusalem before it took place. But did it take place? Go ahead. Yes, it did. Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would be sent back to Jerusalem after 70 years. But did it take place? Sure it did. The people are supposed to be learning that regardless of how long it takes, the Word of God will be fulfilled. But see, Jeremiah had another prophecy for them. Flip over to Jeremiah 33. We're going to start in verse 14. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." Jeremiah proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. But did it take place? Sure it did. But it took 100 years from Jeremiah to the coming of the Lord. God is trying to make a point to His people who are willing to listen that His word will come to pass. All right, let's jump to the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Peter. Or you could look at the front of your bulletin for your scripture reading. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16. For we didn't follow cleverly devised stories when He told you about the coming of the Lord in power. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. I saw it. Go ahead and call me a liar if you want to. I'll call 6 other witnesses. By the way, I only need 3 to get the death penalty for you. I have reliable witnesses. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. What's Peter talking about? He's talking about the prophecies from the Old Testament, right? Including the one from Jeremiah chapter 33. As to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture can come about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What is Peter trying to tell you? God's word is reliable. Okay, well, that's all very interesting. We all know that Christ came. That's a lovely thing. But are there any prophecies left? Is there anything for which we are waiting? Anything we are anticipating? Well, flip over to Titus chapter 2. Because in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11, Paul says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." What are we waiting on? He's coming back. Well, that was just Paul. Let's see if anybody else wants to say it. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. We're going to have an angel say the same thing. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen Him go to heaven." Okay, well, we've got the prophecy from Paul. We've got the prophecy from an angel. Let's go backwards a little further. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And y'all, in deference to my brother Jackson, we're going to read this from the King James. Where we hear the Lord Himself say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Lord said, He's coming back. Now we have short memories. 70 years ago puts us in 1948 in our time. World War II had only ended 3 years ago. Velcro was invented in 1948. The transistor radio was invented. And the long play record was invented. I learned something new. I didn't know that's what LP stood for. Now, in 1948, the USSR blockaded West Berlin. Okay, just out of curiosity, just show hands. How many of you know what USSR stands for? Okay, those of you that don't, look at the people whose hands are up. Go ask them. Now, every week we take communion. as brothers and sisters. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, as Brother Pierce referred to this morning, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Brothers and sisters, I believe we need to remember his bodily sacrifice that he made on our behalf on that cross. I believe we need to remember the shedding of the blood that was given to cleanse our sins. But I also believe that it's important that we need to remember he's coming again. It's hard to maintain excitement indefinitely. There were people in the first century who were so excited about the second coming of Christ that they sat down and twiddled their thumbs to wait, because they were sure the Lord was coming back quickly. For us, it's been over 2,000 years. But the message is still there. We have that message of hope that Jesus is coming back. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8, we read, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance." Thank you, Lord, for your patience. And you know, it's okay to anticipate Christmas and to be excited because Christmas is coming. It's fun. And it's nice to have things in the definite future that we can look forward to with longing. We can count down those days. But in doing those things, let's not forget that there's something in the more indefinite future that needs to be on our mind too. Our Lord is coming back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." When he returns the second time, it's going to be to give us a home in one of those mansions. Right now, God is giving us time to repent, time to live righteous lives, and time to bring others to him. This morning, if you've not given your life to Christ and you want to know more about that, you can come chat with me, or you can come chat with one of our elders. I might suggest this morning that you skip Mr. Khan, but the rest of them are probably good this morning. If you have need of prayers from the congregation, you can let those be known as together we stand and as we sing.